There we go.
Now, I don't know if you saw my message, but I've only got an hour this morning before I have to get off to work.
Okay. Well, in that case, why don't we make you first between those two things? So, paying gentle attention to your outward breath.
I'm just got the hot water bottle organised. It's a bit chilly in Canberra this morning.
It's freezing here too. Not actually frost weather, but by crikey, it's cold enough out there for a frost.
Yeah, no, we've got our first frost for the year. Okay.
Hmm.
Blanket arranged, hot water bottle in place. Right, breathing.
Okay. I'm going to give you a physical exercise to do that's going to take the pressure off your heart pounding. And then with that overwhelm dealt with. Okay. So you're sitting in a chair. Everybody can do this because it's just an exercise to free up the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve actually controls the beating of your heart. So you're just sitting and aware of your seat bones on the chair. Just smile a little bit and feel your seat bones on the chair. Then I want you to roll your pelvis backwards and forwards and just feel what happens when you roll it forwards and arch your back and roll it backwards and round your back and let the top of your body kind of come with it, just flow with the, you know, as you roll your pelvis backwards and forwards, just feel your upper body just flowing. Because, you know, when you arch your back, your chest kind of comes forward and opens up and your chin goes up in the air. Notice how that happens. That's it, backwards and forwards. Now, actually just a little bit more backwards and forwards. Arching your back, feeling your seat bones and rounding your back, then rolling forwards and arching your back and your chin goes up in the air and your chest goes forwards. Okay, so now I want you to take your attention to your throat. Keep rolling backwards and forwards, just let that happen really easily and sweetly. No surprise that you're coughing as well.
Well, yeah, I've been coughing for months.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Keep rolling backwards and forwards. Keep rolling backwards and forwards. And each forwards, let your chin come up higher and higher in a really beautiful feeling stretch of your throat. Rolling backwards and forwards, each time forwards, letting your chin go higher and higher and kind of pause in there for a second with a beautiful stretch of it before you roll back into the rounded back position again. Each time lifting the chin, just feeling the stretch of your chin right in the side of your neck. Is the vagus nerve, and what you're actually doing in this happy little exercise. So you're not pushing that much, you're just kind of getting to the edge of how far you can get your chin up and how far you can kind of push your chin forwards, and then you're kind of feeling a popping feeling. Did you just feel that popping feeling?
Oh, a massive headache.
Ah. That's not surprising either, because this is all vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is the biggest, most powerful, most far-reaching nerve in the body. It runs from up there, just, you know, it connects with the brain, but runs up there and it's jammed up by our throat. So when we're jammed up about speaking our truth, to use a spiritual expression, then the vagus nerve actually gets jammed up, and it has effects where it has a branch that runs into the heart and actually governs how your heart rate runs. And it also goes through into the digestive system and has whopping effects on the digestive system as well. And that's just two little bits of its purpose. It's got many more than that. So just stop now and take your attention back to your heart, because it's feeling at least a bit better, isn't it?
I think so. I can. It's still pounding, but not as much.
Okay. So are you in a place where you can get curious about the pounding?
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. Drop into that. Drop into that feeling. Goes straight into your throat, doesn't it? Mind you, I kind of set you up for that probably with what I said. But did you feel that kind of grab around your throat?
Yeah. It's like something's got a stranglehold on me.
Yep. So just get curious about that too. You're in a place of monumental change, Costanza. It's not surprising that your body's going, holy shit, I've got to catch up. In healing circles, we call this a healing crisis. It's like your body's in such rapid healing. It's in such rapid healing that it actually feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the trick is to find comfort in the healing without actually, you know, the trick is to get comfortable with the rapid healing, maybe reduce it a little bit, slow it down a little bit if it's too uncomfortable. But, man, that seems a bit sad to slow it down. Personally, I'd like to get comfortable with the rapid healing itself. That's my choice, but you can actually slow it down a little bit and say, whoa, like, hello, I got to go to work every freaking day here.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's exactly right. Almost everything else I can do, but the work is starting to get affected.
Yeah.
It's not good. Oh, can you feel my shoulders? Ah, far out.
Ugh. Just pay gentle attention to them. Wow, you're finding it really easy to be wide open to the curiosity and the willingness and the openness, aren't you?
Yeah.
And again, this is if we leave everybody with one, if we only left everybody with one thing, and of course there's many more than one things in this clinic, but if we only left everybody with one thing, it would be that the feeling of willingness and curiosity and openness, you know, whatever way that you experience that, is more important than the answer. Because that's what makes it possible to enjoy the journey.
Can I add something to that? I think
what
helps me a lot is a willingness to sit with discomfort. And I mean extreme discomfort.
Yep. I hear you. The more we can do that, we tend to get a confidence. My experience has been that I've gradually gained more and more confidence in that. because it's not just sit with it. Sandra's pointing out it's allowing the answer to come up as well.
Yeah, it's actually
combination
it's
of the two.
More like leaning into it, even.
Yeah, the more we do that, the easier it gets to sit with it. And that's, you know, you've done a big spiritual blowout, boom, like, you know, you've gone from boom to boom, you know, in one moment. So the rest of you has got to catch up.
We can hurry up for God's sake.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So the shoulders, could you get curious and willing about them?
Yep.
Now, this ain't all yours, Costanza.
Oh, okay. Thank you, whoever gave me this.
No, they didn't give it to you, sweetheart. This is your guidance system.
Yeah, right. Okay.
At work. Julie, I'll make you, just hang on a second. Julie, I'll make you next because it's very late for you and Carolyn's pointing out that you might not be able to stay awake, so we'll make you the next one. And I see Jan there. We'll make her after that because she has big limitations on her ability to stay in a call too. There. Now you can fit. Now you're starting to feel the softness and the yummy energy around it.
Mm. Yeah, you're right.
Just soak that up, sweetheart. Well done, you. Just notice, because the throat's come back up again. Just cycle with it. Notice everything about it. I'm uncanny, aren't I? I just felt your throat clench. Now, you got to know, and for other people, you know, in the clinic who are new to working with me, I am not looking inside Costanza. I'm only looking inside myself. I'm only feeling inside myself. And because of what I do, I'm able to feel people's stuff and, you know, use it for guidance for them. But I would no more look into you on purpose than fly to the moon. I would actually think that was a bit yucky. Ooh, here's your generational friend.
Mm.
Are you getting the same thing?
Yeah.
You know, the lady who cursed all your generations of of strong women? Okay. Now, here's the thing. All jokes aside, we don't want to be using even a joking terminology of arsehole-ery at the moment. There's something for you to know or do for or about her. Probably something to know or do for her. And you can feel the willingness in your heart, can't you? You can feel your...
Yep.
Wow, that heart feeling is beautiful.
I've got tingles in my legs again.
Yeah. It's like Did you watch the movie, Merv and I call it the Blue Chickies?
What?
Avatar. We call it the Blue Chickies movie.
Yeah.
We've probably watched it 20 times.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I watched it twice, actually.
Every time we come across someone who hasn't seen it, we've got it on a not quite 3D, but a really top flight production of it. And, you know, Merv sets it up with popcorn and, you know, widescreen TV and dark room, and everybody sits pinned to Avatar for 3 hours. It's got many gorgeous metaphors in there. And there's a line in there that says, "I see you."
Yeah, I do. I see this woman.
Yeah. But you're seeing her with your heart.
Yep.
Your heart's wide open and you see her.
Massive energy going through my whole body. Oh, man.
Wow.
Goodness me.
It's like, it's almost like, you know, she cursed those women and the whole line of women, but she's received a blessing in return. I've kind of seen this before. It's like, you know, what she does with it is up to her, but because all time is happening now, you know, this is the premise that I'm working on.
She's holding her hands out to me.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, so I'm just holding her hand.
I got tears pouring down my face.
Yeah, me too. And so does she.
Oh, that's beautiful. Do you know, I've been talking a lot and thinking a lot about conflict in the last few days because of the thing I'm working through, and you just resolved a conflict that was so big and so far-reaching through time. And you just pulled that off, sweetheart.
Mm.
So did she. Like, you know, she was willing too.
Yeah, well, that's exactly, yeah, that's it. That's right. She was willing to meet me there.
Yeah. Which is probably set up by your last big aha moment when you realised why she was so angry. Now, wow. Sandra's got a suggestion for you, sweetheart, and she made this suggestion yesterday. Drop into the rightness behind the rightness.
Mm. So it's interesting. I've kind of always seen this woman up the generational ladder, and it's like I'm holding her hands and she's stepping towards me into my sort of part of it. Like becoming, you know, to the same business.
Wow.
Like I'm bringing her forward to all the generations and into mine.
Yeah, and you're observing that, aren't you? It's not that you're doing that on purpose. You're observing
I'm just
that you're
it.
Part of that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm...
That's just what's happening. I'm watching it like a movie. She's not actually... Huh. She just gave me a great big hug.
Oh. And we're all soaking that up with you. I'm willing to bet everybody on the call can feel their hearts running.
Changing colours. It's like everything was pink for a while and now it's all white.
What's happening to your heartbeat?
It calms right down.
Gee, what a surprise.
She's got a healing for me.
Wow.
She wants to give me a gift. Wow. Now that's weird. That is totally weird. Oh, goodness, mate. I don't understand this, but she says she wants me to birth her child. She's offering, she's giving her child to me as a gift for me to birth.
Okay, that's going to be interesting, given you're way past menopause. So clearly we're not talking about it.
I'm almost 60. Hey, what?
Yeah. See, so that's clearly a metaphor, yeah. Not a.
Yeah, something. Oh, we shall see.
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. Now.
But it's given with love, so.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, you know, for everybody else listening here. Hang on. Sandra had something flipped.
Ooh.
Sandra said that you might need to leave the call and integrate and tell all later because you've got a fair bit of integration there. Yeah, good point. And you've got to go to work too, so you've got to have done some of that before you actually go to work.
Oh, 27:30, that's right. I don't.
Okay. So here's the thing.
I don't start until 8:30, but I need to have breakfast.
Yeah.
So
here's the thing for people who are listening, because, you know, what just happened to Costanza is either within your belief system and you're knowing, or it's not in your belief system and you're knowing. And if it's not in your belief system and knowing, that is completely okay because what happened could as easily be a metaphor as it is real. Just pause on that for a second.
Jenny, I sit on both sides of the fence with that too. You know, when I go through these things and I think, you've got to be kidding me, and then I go for a walk.
But it doesn't matter.
No, fair enough. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's real or whether it's a metaphor, a vehicle for you to that allows you to process emotions and the feelings and the traumas and the whatever else.
It just feels so real, you know. And it's,
yeah,
really,
I know.
I see it and I feel it, and things happen around me that I think, oh gosh, you know, how did that happen? And it's just, I join the dots.
Yeah.
And then I go off thinking, nah, that's nuts. But there it is again.
Yeah. And I see this, I don't see this a lot in my clinic work, but I've seen it regularly enough in my clinic work over the 27 years. You know, it feels real to me too. But I guess we'll know all that when we all go back to all that is, won't we?
I have a deep sense that it is real and that I get kicked out of it every now and then, just, you know, reality check. Some very wise person said to me a long time ago, head in the clouds, feet on the ground.
Yep.
You know, have your connection to spirit and keep yourself on it. You're on earth. Keep yourself grounded.
Yeah, that's what I love about this work, because it's even though it stretches out into the holy shit stuff sometimes, it's very practical.
Yeah, and because you can really, really lose it if you just go off with it completely. It's got to be grounded firmly, really firmly.
Yeah. So, okay, you are, I'm getting really strongly that you need to go sit in a chair, turn it off, sit in the chair, feel into yourself and flow with and soak this up. Gosh, I'm just doing a little bit of that with you. And then, you know, email me later, or maybe even come back before you start work, and just let us know what happened in that processing. You don't want to be missing any of this.
Yeah, right. So this woman is. I'm curious as to what she's given me and. Just wait and see, you'll find out.
Yep, it'll unfold.
But it's a gift, it's a real gift from the heart, so I trust that, you know.
Oh, wonderful. So go have a wonderful time soaking that up.
Right, so.
Sandra says, now, move now.
Okay.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Oh, that was very cute. Okay. I just want to, before I go into you, Julie, I just want to talk about the big stuff about today's call. And I'm hoping I can find the words to describe how big and how powerful this is. When I try to control the outcome of my goal, or when I try to control one of those change places, excuse me, then I'm either resisting the change place and creating more things to resist, because we attract what we've got our attention on. So if resistance is what I've got my attention on, resistance and reasons to resist is what I'm attracting. Or if I'm pushing on the universe, which is such a waste of time and so darn frustrating, and my friend Steve calls it arguing with God, and yet control is what we desire. And why wouldn't we want control over the chaos and the crappy stuff that's happening around us? Like, of course we're craving control over all this shit. But here's the paradox of it. When we feel into all the threads around the feelings about whatever it is that we're trying to control, when we open up to notice the rightness behind the wrongness, then we get to notice all those threads that make up the issue. And we align ourselves with the flow of the universe. And the control that we have in this place is, I wrote here, holy shit. The sky's the limit. The possibilities are infinite. It's like we stop telling God, it's like we stop telling God how to give us what we want, and we open up instead to all the ways in which we can get what we are creating. So when we're listening, when we're in our inner awareness and paying attention to it and taking action on it where necessary, in all the little, you know, steps that we learn how to do as we get better and better at it, when we open up to notice the rightness behind the wrongness, it's like we stop telling God how to give us what we want and open up to all the ways in which we can get what we're creating. Yeah, there's layers in that. I've just kind of like dropped a big stone in a pond, and there's layers in that. This makes an incredible difference to how easily we move through each change place on the way to what we're creating. And there's even some really big world type stuff that can be achieved in this space of rightness. And here's the thing, this is what you've been doing over this last 5 weeks. Every single one of you, every time you listen to your feelings and allow the message to flow, and if you can't get it to flow in the minute, if in the moment, if you have to pause and do something to allow the message to flow, every message that you get, every guidance that you feel and take action on, takes you closer and closer to the incredible power of your own creating. Just feel the truth or not of that. Every single one of you, every time you listen to your feelings and allow the message to flow, and if it doesn't flow in the moment, if you have to pause and do something to allow the message to flow, every message that you get, every guidance that you feel and take action on, takes you closer and closer to the incredible power of your own creating, of your own ability to create. When you listen to your inner awareness, to your inner guidance system, it's like you add the power of the universe to whatever it is that you're creating. Holy shit, is that true? Or not? listen to your inner awareness, to your inner guidance system, it's like you add the power of the universe to whatever it is that you are creating. Is that true? Because if it is, holy shit. And how many of you are already doing that? Like, duh. Now that is control. That is the paradox of control. That's real control when we find the paradox behind our need for control. I got goosebumps running up and down my back. Okay, that's the bit that I wanted to bring in addition to Tuesday's stuff. And Julie, because you're going to be falling asleep, it's very late at night for you. How have you been going this week, Sunshine? Are you there, Julie? Or have you fallen asleep already? Okay. Can't hear you, sweetheart. Oh, can now. There was a noise there. Are you there, Julie? Okay, there was someone else who was going to have to go. Yep, Jan. Okay, Jan, I've opened you up. Just know that every background movement you do kind of rattles in our ears, whatever that movement is.
Yep. Hi. Can you hear me?
Really well. How are you?
Oh, I'm still alive.
That sounds good. Okay. So I just asked, is it true? Hang on, let me find the question. When you listen to your inner awareness, is this true or not? When you listen to your inner awareness, it's like you add the power of the universe to whatever it is that you're creating. What does that feel like?
I'd like it to be true.
Cool.
True.
Okay. So I know from your emails that you had a huge breakthrough at the beginning of the clinic and that then you got a week or two in and you felt like you went backwards.
Yeah.
So, and the breakthrough that you had was monumental, like absolutely monumental.
Yep.
So what if find the words. So if all this stuff about your inner guidance system and resistance and the making change places easy, if that's true, then what happened to take you from being guided by your inner guidance, which is how you found your incredible breakthrough? What stopped the listening? What stopped your ability? Let me rephrase that, because I'm by no means, even in the tiniest, weeniest little way, wanting to make you wrong about this, because there'll be a serious rightness here, you know. There'll be something importantly right here. But what was it that stopped you from being able to listen to your inner guidance system and got everything all backed up again. Can you get curious about what that might be, what that might have been?
Yeah.
Cool. I can actually feel your curiosity. You've opened up to understand what that might have been. And if Sandra's right, it's probably the last time you were breathing properly.
Can you explain that a bit?
Well, Sandra noticed that you're not actually breathing properly, that you're all, your breath's all tight and your ribs are tight and you're not breathing properly.
I've still got this flow.
So when did that start? Oh, because you got really sick, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hanging on.
Well, I felt you get curious about, you know, what it was that got in the road of you being able to follow your inner guidance system so sweetly and easily. After that wonderful breakthrough, you've set yourself up. That answer's going to flow. The answer is not as important as the feeling of curiosity that you just had. You know, your genuine desire to know the answer. So now let's look at your breathing and just pay gentle attention to the outward breath. So just to clarify, you've set yourself up for the answer to flow, and it's going to come when you're ready. So we can just pay gentle attention to your outward breath and just notice the way that your ribs are breathing. Carolyn's actually thinking that you're in a healing crisis too, that it feels very similar to Costanza's rapid healing in her body that's feeling really uncomfortable. That's quite possible. It's amazing how often in clinic when I'm working, the first thing I have to clear from people is, you know, a time when they were in rapid healing and they shut it down. They went, oh, no, I don't like to heal that far. You know, all this is very uncomfortable. Don't want this. And because they haven't been taught, like you guys are learning, how to sit with all the threads of what's happening and get an awareness of everything that's happening, because we haven't been taught in the past to do that, when we haven't been taught to do that, we go, oh, that's too uncomfortable, let's get some pills or whatever and shut that down.
Yep.
And then the body goes, okay, well, I can't get rid of it that way. Let me find another way to get rid of it. So it pops up somewhere else and usually bigger. And then we shut that down because we don't like that feeling either. And so we take another pill and shut that down. And it's kind of what happens when we... and I'm not even criticizing the desire to get rid of those symptoms, because that in itself is a paradox. Of course we want to get rid of the bloody symptoms.
We just go about it the wrong way.
Well, it's not even necessarily wrong. It's just there's an easier way.
Yeah. A less effective way.
Yeah. So if you can get curious about all the threads that make up this breathing thing that you've got going on, where your chest is all tied up and There. That's some mad skills you got going on there, Sunshine. Well done you. It doesn't take you long to drop into the, you know, to that flow of curiosity and openness. Well done.
I wasn't actually aware that I'd done anything.
Well, I felt you get curious. That was interesting that you didn't feel it. Sometimes I think I should shut up. And sometimes I'm talking to more than you, you know, because we've got a whole bunch of people on the call here and it's nice for them to have an awareness of what's going on if not feeling it themselves. Helps people be part of the yummy stuff that's happening.
The word grief keeps coming up.
Yeah, that came up in your email too.
Yeah.
So just pay gentle attention to the word grief. Allow yourself to get curious about all the threads around that word. Sorry, I hope you couldn't hear me swallowing my water then. I should have turned the mic off.
No, it didn't come through.
But remember, if there's one thing I am begging of you to take away from this clinic, it is that the answer itself is not as important as the feeling of curiosity and willingness and openness to know the answer. See, we're fixated on the answer, and that in itself is a paradox, because of course we want the bloody answer. But the more we push on the universe for the answer, the more we resist the fact that the answer hasn't come up yet, the more struggle we're creating.
Yeah.
Yeah, that landed this time, didn't it, Jan? Can you feel the truth or not of that?
Yeah, it's something I've been aware of for a long time.
Yeah.
Being aware of something and letting it happen is two different things.
Well, it's a practice thing. You're an incredibly powerful woman. I've been observing you for, you know, off and on for a few years now, and you're one of the holy shitters. And you actually don't know it.
No, I was just going to say, I don't feel powerful.
Sandra said it's also reminding you that you haven't breathed properly for years. And grief fits into that.
That's strange because I've always been, well, not always, but for a long time, aware of my breathing. Because many years ago I studied martial arts for a couple of years, and that's a big thing in that.
Yeah.
So I've been aware for a long time of breathing deeply into your lungs and getting all the stale air out from the bottom of your lungs and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I too have a lot of martial arts in my background from when I was young. I started at 5 and finished when I was pregnant at 16. Got a second Dan Brown belt. Weeks off my black belt exams and they wouldn't let me sit them. There's a difference between the relaxed effortlessness of good breath and the driving stale air out of our bodies.
Yep.
So what we're looking for is an effortless, sweet breath.
Okay.
And so you felt the openness and the curiosity and the willingness to understand about the grief behind your breath. Can you feel that again, that openness and willingness?
Sort of.
Yep. We don't need to push it because you've already created the space to understand that. So you two, this is weird. We're sending a few of you away from the call today. You're at home by yourself, aren't you?
Yep.
Super. Go for a walk out and sit with your horse and just process this. Just sit with them and stroke them and listen to the birds. You've got some beautiful birds out there. I can hear them. And just allow yourself to process whatever's going to come up. And then come back to us.
Okay.
My heart feels really wide open at that idea.
My body's really thinking, I'd rather stay here in bed and go back to sleep.
Well, maybe you could do that too. Maybe you just turn the, you know, turn the computer off and cuddle down. That's up to you. Come back to us after you've processed it, whether that's on the call or by email.
Okay.
Just remember, the big deal is that your willingness and your openness and your curiosity about the answer is much, much more important than the answer itself.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. I feel like I'm doing a little jig with you because it just feels really yummy. Okay, off you go to whichever it is that you choose to do, however you choose to do your integration. And cuddling up in bed is, you know, just as valid a way of integrating as, you know, purposefully going off out in the paddock to integrate. Carolyn's just pointing out that sleep helps her so much when she's doing this work. There you go. High five.
Thank you.
Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
Let's see if Julie's awake yet or got the sound going. Yep, can I hear you in the background, Julie?
Yep.
Ah, super. We tried to open you up before, but you were either sleeping or... and not surprising because it's very late at night here.
I'm here now.
Okay. Just be aware that every movement in the background that you make, the sound is amplified in our ears. That's what you hear when you hear all those crackles and stuff. It's somebody moving something in the background. So, how have you been going since we talked on Tuesday? Did you hear the stuff I was talking about earlier about control or the paradox of control or...
No, I missed that. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay, because I just wondered. The summary, the quick note summary is, the notes for it are on the webpage, so you can look them up later. But the quick note summary is that, of course, we want control, for freaking sake. Of course you want control in all this chaos and upsetting stuff that's happening to us and around us and all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. The feelings behind our desire for control, when we open up and get curious and willing and understanding, to understand all the threads behind our desire for control, then we stop pushing on the universe. We stop arguing with God. We stop resisting the change place. And we start flowing with the power of the universe. And the difference that makes to our ability to move through a change place on the way to our dream, the difference that it makes on our ability to reach our goals and dreams is phenomenal. It's like, you hear the Buddhists talk about surrender and then, you can flow, then you can get what you want when you surrender. But this is, it's like, well, what the hell does surrender mean? Does it mean giving up? No, not. That's why everybody has such trouble with it, because it's not about giving up at all. It's not about giving up what you want. It's about feeling for the rightness behind the wrongness. And every time we do that, every time we follow our inner guidance system, and every time we feel for the rightness behind the wrongness, we're getting closer and closer to flowing with the power of the universe. And when you step into that place where, gosh, and I can feel it even as I'm saying it, I'm not in it all the time, but I can feel it often. When you step into that place where the universe has got the universal energy is flowing behind your creation, holy shit, the sky's the limit. It's like we stop arguing with the universe as to how we're going to get what we want and start flowing with the power of the universe to get what we want. Yeah. So your goal for the clinic, Sunshine, what was it? Oh, is it one that you can share with everybody, or is it one that you prefer to keep private?
No.
Because I know there was a few goals I read that people might want to be private about.
No, I'm happy to share, but I can't really remember. I don't know whether I made it Dancing with the Horses, whether I made it that.
I think you shifted to that in the last call.
Yeah, I did have that in the last call.
Yeah, nothing wrong with shifting your goal. Happens all the time.
But as I say, there's a kind of a concern about that, in that I don't want it to be something that they don't want. I don't want to make it my agenda, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's actually a really important point. So take your attention inside to your outward breath and think about your horses and keep noticing what happens inside you when you think about dancing with your horses. What just happened inside your body? Because it was quite clear, wasn't it?
I'm not quite sure what was in the body, but the thought was, it's not possible for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Ew. Okay. Get curious and open and willing to notice all the threads behind that.
Yeah, it's just kind of about being undeserving, I think.
Stay in that, or re-anchor into that curiosity and willingness and openness about not deserving it. See, physically, you and at least one other person on the call have physical problems that would actually get in the road of you dancing with your horses. So to dream of dancing with your horses is a big... you could think that that was a really big goal because there's healing threads to that. But it's a bit like me. I've been out of the saddle for what I call proper riding for quite a long time. Was before I really haven't ridden properly since I retired Bobby. I've sat on a horse and I've ridden a little bit, but not to go out in the bush and do whatever I want to do and all that kind of stuff. Carolyn's actually suggesting a different approach for you, Julie. Can you... Hang on, my phone keeps dropping back into the black and I don't want it to be. Come back here. Can you make it okay that it isn't possible for you to dance with your horses? Because just allowing that feel might unblock it. Can you feel for the rightness behind the wrongness of not being able to? Because it would feel wrong, you know, if you want to dance with your horses, to have that, you know, to be thinking that that's not possible, that sucks. Mm. So there's your wrongness, right?
Yeah.
So now get curious for the rightness behind it. Remembering that the really big deal here is not the answer, but your willingness and openness to the answer. Because the answer's going to come. But it's our willingness and our curiosity and our openness to get the answer that makes the journey a happy one. That's what practical happiness is.
I think it's kind of around safety again. I'm not talking about riding anyway. I was just talking about dancing on the ground with them. But so there's a bit about safety. There's a bit about, as I said, not wanting to impose an agenda if it's not what they want, and I feel I need to be more, and I have been trying to learn more how to listen to them more and how to interpret their body language and expressions better.
Beautiful. So the answers are starting to flow. The threads are starting to flow.
Yeah. And there's the other thing that came...
Just pause for a second. Actually, you tell me this first. You tell me your bit first.
The other thing that came to mind was... And I mean, it wasn't something that was sort of said a lot in my childhood, but obviously enough to kind of lodge in there, was I want doesn't get.
Yeah, well, there's a great belief to piff out the window. So ask yourself, is that true or not? I remember that one. I want doesn't get.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Oh, wow. I'll bet half the people on this call have heard exactly the same, been told exactly the same thing as a child. I want doesn't get.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow, the paradox behind that, because there's, you know, in one way they weren't wrong, because the pushing that we did in our wanting was literally pushing what we wanted away.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And yet we, when we drop into the rightness behind the wrongness, the paradox energy, the heart of the paradox energy, then holy shit, we can get what we want when we're aligned with the power of the universe behind us.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I've got goosebumps.
And I have plenty of examples where, you know, where that hasn't been true as well, you know, just like finding the
but
place.
But of course,
where,
because we... Yeah. Oh, sorry, go on. I'm getting excited.
Well, like finding the place where we, you know, we've ended up living, it was just, you know, I just sort of put out the thought that I wanted somewhere with land for so I could have the horse at home, and... you know, we saw two or three places, and then this was just like no picture, just two line advert in the newspaper. And yeah, we ended up here. Just happened to
and
be in
the beauty of that is, and the beauty of that is that what we can see with that is that the we're pre-programmed to get what we want, like. Yeah. Sandra's just pointing out that saying. You know, what was that saying again? I want doesn't get. What they're doing without kind of understanding the paradox around that, what they're doing is actually creating lack. Mm. So they're actually creating not getting what they want.
Mm.
And yet there was that element of truth in it that when you push for what you want, it makes it harder, creates struggle. Mm. Gosh, you feel like those threads are coming together beautifully, Julie. Now, dumb question. I've seen your name on the Fast Track student list, haven't I?
Yeah, but some time ago.
So I just sent an email out about doing a restart. Why don't you do a restart? Because there is dancing with your horse stuff in there, in that Fast Track program.
Yeah.
Some brilliant lessons. And they may not look like dancing with your horse stuff straight up, but the two mirroring lessons are literally dancing with your horse stuff. If you email me to remind me, I'll send you a video that Ina's has allowed me to share, where a German student on the Ease and Grace program has literally got her horse. She and her horse are literally step in time with their oneness. It's just gorgeous. Yeah. And just simple stuff around the stables. She hasn't yet turned it into anything fancy like Frederick Pignon has, but by crikey, she's on the way.
No, I can do a little bit with Izzy. I can do little bit sort of just from energy and sort of coming into trot together and those sorts of things. So India is the same orchard. I kind of feel with indie more. There's more of a. It's a bit like. It feels a bit like, you know, that I've been. It's almost like I've been dumped with her by her, and I'm trying to get back together, and she doesn't want anything to do. You know, like when you've been in a relationship, but they don't really, you know, you're more into them than they're into you.
Yep. Those two mirroring games will actually help you. Those two mirroring lessons will actually help you. Fish the email out. I offered a restart, and it was a suggestion on how to do fast track differently the second time round.
Mentioning Frederick Pignon, I'm actually going to see him and go to his clinic the end of May.
Oh, you lucky duck. Oh.
Just to watch, not to take a horse, not at £1,000.
Yep. Oh, well, say hello to him from me, because I've actually had private lessons with him here in Australia. Sandra says, tell you that you're further ahead than most of the planet and it's a great place to build from.
Thank you.
In terms of dancing with your horses, you are further ahead than most horsemen on this planet. So high five for that. Okay. I want to get to, I think that's, tell us how all that turns out. I want to get to, I think that's Marla in New York. Who is that in New York? Albany.
Probably me.
Ah, that is Marla. Ah, we've got a decent line. Sit still, though, because there's a bit of crackling in the background.
Okay. Sorry. I have a dog on a leash.
Oh, yeah, that makes it hard to sit still. How have you been going? I know you haven't been able to join in. You work pretty hard. You've only been able to join in a couple of times. How have you been going on the recordings?
Really good. Yeah, I missed. No, actually, I haven't done Tuesday yet, but the other one this week yet, but I've done all the others.
Yep. So how have you been going in your settling into those, you know, is that really true questions?
Sometimes well, sometimes not so well.
Yep. So are you comfortable yet? You know, this is the one, we call this practical happiness, because, you know, this work is literally a practical, almost step-by-step way to be happy. How comfortable are you with the is it true or not question about is it true that willingness and curiosity and openness, those feelings of willingness and curiosity and openness are more important than the answer is? So our desire to know the answer is more important than the answer itself in terms of being happy.
Right. Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Cool. So are you finding that there's an more effortlessness coming through now?
It's beginning to, yes. Again, that's one of those off and on things. When I remember to ask the questions, then things are better. And then I forget to ask again.
Yep. See, when the layers of that truth come through, that's the effortlessness that I'm setting you up for.
Right.
So when I'm asking you that question, is it true or not that the feeling of curiosity and willingness and openness to know the answer is more important than the answer itself? I'm setting you up to have a truth come welling up from the inside that will make it effortless.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
that's what I'm setting you up for. And clearly that's starting to work.
Yes. Yes.
Woo! That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
High five. How does that gorgeous Maggie think about that particular change? Because she's such a thinking
thought.
She likes it. Yeah,
yes,
I'll bet
she likes it.
Oh, actually, I've got goosebumps when you say she likes it, because she's not. She's a horse who holds you to high standards.
She does, very high standards. Yes.
Yeah, a bit like Bobby was in the earlier days. She and Bobby probably had discussions.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear, Marla. I'm very pleased. Is there any question or something you'd like a hand with today?
No, I'm pretty okay right now.
Super.
I feel like I need some playing time with it, maybe.
Yeah, that integration that Sandra's been talking about. There's a lot to integrate from these 5 weeks.
Yes.
You're going to be processing it for a while. I suspect there's going to be yummy stuff happening for quite a while.
Quite sure.
Okay, cool. Let me move on to some other people who I know are either late in the evening or good to talk to you, sweetheart. And that was the best sound we've ever had out of a connection with you, which is interesting. Deb in Kodiak, I'm going to open you up. How have you been going?
Hello. I am doing so much better than I was a month ago.
Oh, well done you.
And I'm one of those people that changed my goals.
Yep. That's cool.
Yeah. It was a big change. For those of you who don't know, I really screwed up my left hip, but on the first call, everybody kind of got that idea, because when you had me stand up, it was like you had me sit down again pretty quick. This started with an old injury like 17 years ago, but the more I think about it, maybe it even started when I was 10 and fell off a horse onto my left side.
Yep.
But I have worked really hard to heal myself from the pain that it was causing over the years. And I've been able to get myself out of pain so many times, but there was always a not quite right in that hip.
Yep.
And I could never get my full range of motion back. But I could, if I wanted to just have a leisurely life and just stroll around, I would probably be fine. But the active life that I want to, I kept hurting myself on that side. I hurt my knee on the opposite side too, which didn't help. But I have decided to have a hip replacement.
Ah.
Because I'm kind of sick of laying around not being able to do anything. I'm in so much less pain than I was. I mean, and maybe on that first call you asked me why I went to Alaska, and it was to get away from people telling me what to do.
Yep.
So I was super resistant even after I hurt myself really bad in, you know, just this spring and or winter, whenever it was this year. And I was determined not to have to get a hip replacement. And I really think listening to these calls has helped me come to the realization that it's okay to do.
There's a time very aware of from 27 years worth of clinic work on people with damaged joints and stuff, that there is a point at which the joint damage is so big that the journey to repair that is a shitload bigger than the repair work from the surgery.
Yeah.
And you may well have hit that point, which is why you're starting to feel good about having the surgery.
Yeah, but I'm excited
here's
about
a point. Here's a point. There's two things going on. One is the more you set your body up for your mind, body, spirit up to have a wonderful surgery and a wonderful outcome afterwards. That's your goal now. That's mm-hmm. now what you're creating. Just mm-hmm. pause and feel into that. Deb, notice when I said that, you just dropped into the power of the universe.
Totally.
Oh my God.
Feeling.
You just hit the flow. You just hit the flow stuff. And it was so fast.
Pretty
high five.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's hard to describe. It's just like a fuzzy, tingly feeling through my whole body almost. Just,
yeah.
It feels good.
Yeah. Carolyn's reminding me of, I had a student that has become a friend here at a clinic physically taking place at our home here in Rokeby. And she was coming to help me to be a gopher 2 days out of knee replacement surgery. She was planning to be here for a gopher.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to write back to her, you've got to be freaking kidding. and then I went, oh, Jen, don't put limits on her. So I just made the decision not to put limits on her mm-hmm. and went, oh, well, we'll see you or not.
Right.
And she arrived here on a frame literally 2 days after knee replacement surgery. We did that first night. She's a really super early to bed lady. And I went and sat on the side of the bed and we had hands on this incredibly swollen knee. It was about twice its size.
Wow.
After the surgery. And it was like there was mice running around underneath the bedclothes. There was so much movement going on in the knee as she worked through layers of stuff like this, you know, mm-hmm. the feelings around it and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, I went off to bed and she went off to sleep. And I got up the next morning and I was in the laundry doing something and I looked across the kitchen. And she had arrived on a frame, you know, one of those frames they give you from hospital so you can lean on and take all the weight off, you know, off the walking. And she was walking across the kitchen making someone a cup of tea and her frame was in the corner.
That's cool.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I have never seen or heard of anyone recover from replacement surgery so fast.
I'm excited.
And our arena is like 200 metres away, you know, down a bloody paddock.
Right.
And she was down there every day.
That's so cool.
She had to stay on flat ground. She was she wasn't crazy. And if she got tired, someone would get the car and give her a lift up or down.
Yeah.
But far out.
Wow. I'm like expecting it to go, I mean, who knows how it's going to go, but I'm open to it being something like what you just described for sure.
Yep. Now, here's the second thing. Repeatedly, as we've been talking, you've had throat stuff come up.
Hmm.
Just pay gentle attention to your throat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Sandra just pointed out a very good point. That if there's a need elsewhere in your life for you to take months to heal, then that's perfect too. Because any single event is not necessarily just about that. It's about a big picture in our lives.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you can feel the truth in that, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so paying gentle attention to your outward breath. Your breath is restricted, isn't it? Well, believe me, it's restricted. It's normal to you, but it's not actually a very, very effortless breath. So just paying gentle attention to it. It's going to get more effortless. Get your eyes smiling a bit. And can you feel that feeling of curiosity and willingness about that kind of cough feeling that you're experiencing every now and again? There's that flow of the universe again. Oh, Deb, well done.
It's got something to do with being able to speak my truth.
Yeah, there's a dare for you.
Right.
See, the beauty of this is the big picture flash that I just got. Is this ability to speak our truth, which is not spewing whatever's on our mind out verbally. That's not speaking our truth. I just thought I'd make that clear. Speaking our truth is our hearts are wide open with understanding of whatever's going on, and then we speak.
Mm-hmm.
That's speaking our truth. Spewing our fears and our angers and our, you know, frustrations, that's not speaking truth. It's a heart wide open understanding of what's going on and using our voices to be heard. That's speaking it truth.
Mm.
Oh, and that just feels so yummy.
Mm.
And it doesn't get pushback. You know, people don't react yuckily to that when we're speaking from the heart like that. And if they do, it's their issue and it doesn't affect our happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So, sweetheart, this is classic, you know, that feeling of the flow of the universe behind you that you just felt again when you felt into your throat. That was just beautiful. It means that I can give you a high five as you go off after this clinic. I'm going to get emotional. Because it's landed for you that the feeling of curiosity and openness and willingness is more important than the answer. You don't know yet what truth you need to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But you found the place where the journey to that answer is easy. And I am so freaking pleased for you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm so glad we connected again.
Oh, just soak that up, Deb. This is life transformation stuff. And everybody else, soak it up with us. God, we're so blessed.
I mean, I've realized a lot of things while I've been laid up around the house. I've only just been going out to my horse with my daughter. She takes me out there once in a while. But I got this really difficult horse years ago, and it made me seek out other ways of working with horses.
That's funny that, eh? did you have a Bobby too, did you?
She was a super dangerous biter, actually. She was really challenging, and she's so polite now. It's just amazing. And she's been, you know, she's known something was off with me for all these years. And she, like, I used to get on her and I could just only cry because it hurt so bad. And she wouldn't move. And then it got to, you know, when I was feeling better, we started being able to do more things. And, but she's just been waiting for me. And I really miss her. I hardly see her right now.
You're a fast track student, aren't you? Aren't you an old fast track student?
I started doing the reboot on fast track. I have.
Excellent. And because
I know I can.
Yeah, but you know, when you talk about the gift in something, here's just a thought as you flow with the energy of the universe. There was a girl, the one I feature in the Fast Track program in a few of the pictures. I'm just trying to think of her name. Hannah. Her horse was on the other side of America when she won a scholarship to the Fast Track program. And this is a horse she couldn't catch. This is a girl who'd worked with the top, some of the top trainers in America. She'd made a career out of looking for the best teachers, and she could not catch this horse. It was like she won it in a competition, and she couldn't catch it.
I remember her.
Yeah, yeah, incredible girl, Hannah. She's now a policewoman working in the slave trade, the American slave trade, putting a stop to the slave trade in Texas.
Wow.
Incredible young woman. Strong Christian, amazing girl. All her horsework. I've got goosebumps, actually. She's brought all her horsework to her police career.
That's amazing. I'm getting goosebumps too now.
Yeah, I've got goosebumps too. I'll bet she's feeling the flood of heart energy right at the moment and wondering where the hell it's coming from. Anyway, she was 3 months away from this horse, but for 3 months she connected with that horse every day. And when she came back, when she was back on the other side of the country, Maya ran to her.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
So you can play in your imagination with her. Even if you can't get outside, feel in your body, feel in the feelings, play with it. And the reboot that you've just had on Fast Track, starting the emails coming back again, that'll do wonders for you, because it'll remind you of the odd bits and pieces of holes in your program.
Right.
We'll jump up and jump up to your attention.
Perfect timing, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Deb, I am so, so very pleased for you.
Thank you. Thank you for everything that you do.
Oh, you're welcome. It's like those of us who do this kind of work, I don't know anybody who it hasn't turned out to be for ourselves. Maybe it's possible that it's actually for others, but but I've got to tell you, my own personal growth that happens because I'm a teacher is phenomenal and such a gift. Sandra had a note for you. a good practical takeaway is to notice when we're breathing so happy and emotionally full and when we aren't.
Mm.
It's a real kind of happy and emotional breath, a happy breath, and a when we're full of good feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a restricted kind of breath when we're not just your breath can be your breath is for a lot of people noticing whether you're breathing effortlessly or not. Hang on, let me rephrase that, because that breathing is always effortless, or almost always effortless. The ease of our breath, the ease of the movement of our ribs, noticing that can be a really good indication of a reminder when we've popped out of when we need to pay attention to our inner guidance.
Mm-hmm. I'll notice that more. Thank you, Sandra. And it just made, I mean, I just remembered too that I suffered from asthma when I was a child, really young, and it was super scary.
Yeah. And that's one of the threads that's just, notice you're back in that flow of the universe again.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the threads. That's one of the threads that you literally understanding on the way to that goal of, you know, effortless surgery, the best outcome for you. Just feel how effortless that was. You just had two threads pop up utterly effortlessly. Now, most people kind of, you know, when we're doing the resistance thing, when we're not feeling open and curious and willing to know the answer, then we can run around in one of those change places for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wrestling with it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe never even getting through, never even going through. And there you've just moved through too effortlessly.
Right. The resistance makes you at it, but you can't hear anything coming to you when you're resisting too much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the vacuum cleaner's on and you can't hear the radio.
Yeah.
High five.
Back at you.
Okie dokie. I'm picking people on other sides of the world very late at night at the moment. Oriana, you're very late in Portugal.
Yep.
How have you been going?
No, it's on mute.
I've got you open.
Yeah, it's all right. I've unmuted the thing. Yeah, after, what was it, Friday's, Saturday's do, yes, certainly somewhat less pain, certainly sleeping better. Although I'm still waking up, it's actually deeper.
Yeah.
Something has become slightly more regular with that. Now, bearing in mind that, well, two things. First of all, from what we talked about then, I've realized I need to pay more attention to doing less pushing and noticing what I'm able to do without aggravating what I have as the rest of the pain, because obviously it's there for a reason.
Just pause on that for a second, sweetheart, because that's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pause on that for a second. Now, in context of what you just said,
mm-hmm.
you know, finding an ease around doing what your body's capable of without pushing it too far,
mm-hmm.
how have you been going with the, is it true or not, that the feeling of willingness and openness and curiosity is more important than the answer?
Don't know. Some of it's been making me feel rather frustrated.
Perfect. So, sit with the feeling of frustration.
Yeah.
Because this will be the difference between you and me. We're all freaking unique, right?
Yeah.
And your mental field is so strong. You've got one of the strongest mental fields I've come across.
Yeah.
Which is a gift. It's your gift. It's your talent.
Yeah.
So you will, in all likelihood, be wanting to do it differently to me.
Yeah.
So open to the rightness behind the frustration.
No, I'm still kicking. Sorry. It's something, Jenny, which I find really, really difficult. And because I've been so used to pushing, and it's the, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that, I can't do it. But there's another side to this. If you remember, one of the things I came up with that I wanted to have a goal for this course was to find out what was behind me having all that arthritis and having the two hip resurfaced.
Oriana, this is so weird.
Yeah.
The answer is pouring into me as you're speaking, and I just have to stand up for a minute.
Okay.
Do you know, you've got different horse personalities, and some horses need, have a comfort zone in standing still, and some have a comfort zone in movement.
Yeah.
Well, you're a person who has a comfort zone in movement.
Yeah.
So sitting and relaxing is not useful to you.
Yeah.
So the what I was saying about the, you know, the openness and the willingness and the, all the rest of it, that's all bullshit to you because that's sitting still stuff.
Yes. Although I have the last few days had to do a certain amount of sitting still, A, for listening to the previous recording that I wasn't at, and some other stuff.
Download it and take it out for a job.
I cannot run, Jenny, very far.
No, we're not talking about
it. I also only use my job as a phone. That's it. It's used as a phone.
Okay. Well, that's a choice.
Yeah.
That's a choice.
Sure.
But just pause. Pause again because there's an ease of movement here.
Okay.
That you're looking for. So instead of curiosity and willingness and openness for the answer, you're looking for an ease of movement.
Which I have achieved to some extent because what happens is I notice, you know, first thing in the morning I'll start feeling rather stiff. And then as I move and start doing things during the day, I tend to loosen up, the pain gets less.
Oriana, I'm almost apologetic because I don't think I've ever interrupted somebody as much as I'm interrupting you today. Pause again.
Yeah.
Stand up.
Okay. All right.
And gently feel, maybe it could be as simple as a little sway from side to side. Feel for the ease of that swaying movement in your body.
Yeah, okay.
And don't go any further than is easy.
Yeah.
Literally feel the ease of the movement in your body.
Yeah.
And everybody sitting in their chairs can just kind of super sweet and soft sway with Oriana from side to side, swaying no further than is easy in your body and noticing where the ease finishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And smiling at it.
Yeah. Okay.
Being aware of where it's easy and not pushing into where it isn't.
Yeah.
Because this is the push on the universe stuff that I was talking about in the control, you know, when I was talking about control.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we push into more movement than is easy, mm-hmm. we're literally creating resistance.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's your aha moment.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done. And I think it aha'd for a few other people as well.
I'm going to say something else as well, which was part of a thought process to do with, as I say, the original arthritis.
Okay. I'm going to get you to pause again. You just skipped over one of the most beautiful moments. Pause and soak it up.
Okay.
I recognise this, sweetheart, because it's an old pattern of mine.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, yep, tick that box, off to the next one.
Yeah, we've got all those jobs to do.
There you go.
Okay, I speak about this because it's a conclusion I came to, which I find quite interesting. It's to do with noticing two things. First of all, I keep on thinking about things that need fixing rather than things that need appreciating. So I'm finding
there's a paradox in there.
Yes, there are things that are wrong rather than things that are right. And another thing is that I often are very critical, even of other people, and it's a habit that comes from my mother. She used to criticize all sorts of stuff and all sorts of people for all sorts of reasons, and it wasn't very nice. And so I think some of this stuff is not mine.
And some of that stuff has been locked up in your body as unease.
Yeah, and it comes to arthritis because it's a feeling fixed and not going forwards.
Yeah, high five, Ariana. Wow, notice something just changed. You just hit the flow of the universe.
Okay.
Notice that energy that's kind of flowing.
Yeah. But you're right about the movement thing.
Well, duh. Of course I am. Actually, it's good to laugh at that. I'm not always perfectly right because, you know, there's almost as many different answers to every issue as there is.
Yeah.
I'm not often wrong.
Yeah. But also, your thing about pushing, I've realised, can be applied to the horses.
Oh, duh, of course.
Yeah, I know that, but I know it sounds obvious, but Nuvain's a horse that likes lots of cuddles, and I've realised that she, when she's not confident, wants to be close. So trying to get her to move away from me is actually quite difficult because she's not feeling confident. And the other day with Vishalant, there were things he didn't want to do. So he was being very slow, very resistant, and trying to make it very obvious that I was pushing.
Yes. That's a whole different ball game for another venue. You know, you've got some lessons in the bank. You might like to apply one of those to that, to Nuvain. But the thing is to not push her past her ease. So the same feeling that you have in your body, where the movement is filled with ease, and then you get to the place where it's not, you don't push her into the where it's not. And the more confident she gets in that, the more she'll be prepared to do for you. She's literally a caretaker.
Yeah, she is. And when she first came, she needed huge amounts of fuss, which I gave her. And this is why I've realised that she comes to me when we're doing something, she wants lots of fuss. It's the, I need a cuddle, you know? So all that natural horsemanship stuff about sending the horse away, I'm not your mummy, doesn't work. It's not right for her at all.
It doesn't work for a lot of...
Yeah.
And the gaps in traditional natural horsemanship are more visible in the caretaker horses because they have to beat the crap out of them to get them to move.
Yeah. The other thing I notice is
I have a feeling we're stepping outside of the forum of the clinic.
Because this is actually quite interesting because all three horses of mine are so different.
Yeah. And how wonderful is that, that they bring you that gift?
Yeah.
Super.
Okay.
Gillian, you're also very late at night. Hang on while I just get you open. How have you been going, Sunshine?
Hey, Jenny. So I had this day, like Thursday after our call, because I'm a day behind you, was really great. Like I felt really good. And then I went down and my husband's not talking to me for like going on 5 days.
God bless you.
I almost got fired from my job. But listen, yesterday or 2 days ago, I had this horrible, like foreboding, like very dramatic feeling. And I spent the whole day like, should I take Dylan out of school? Is Daphne going to have her baby and I'm not here? My horse.
Wondering what the feeling of foreboding was about.
Yeah, was something coming to the bank? Like, was it that? And so I tried to get quiet and it was like my inner guidance system was like shut down. Nothing. I got nothing.
It wasn't
terrible.
Shut down. You were getting the foreboding. You just didn't understand how to, you weren't able to get in touch with what it was about. What did it turn out to be?
I don't know. There's nothing happened. It was nothing.
Okay. I know exactly what's going on here. Okay. You're actually feeling into the future. So let me explain something. When, and it's not necessarily anything near as big as this, right? I'm just using this as an example because it's a very clear example of this future stuff. Before 9/11 happened, I was moving in, we were doing spiritual awareness classes with one of my mentors. And in that class, we met was it once a week at that point? We met once a week for a while and then we went to once a month when we finished the actual course. And a lot of the girls in that course were super sensitive, like real empaths. And I remember for some months before 9/11 happened, they were talking about this huge sense of foreboding that just wouldn't leave them. At least one of them talked about visions of a plane going into a building and others were talking about other things, but the common thread was this incredible feeling of foreboding. Then I wasn't one of them. At that time, my vacuum cleaner was going far too loud for me to hear any of my radio signals. So the morning 9/11 happened, I remember, I was pulling out of the driveway to go check a horse for a friend, and I heard the news and thought it was one of those War of the Worlds kind of radio shows, until there was this holy shit moment sitting at the gate where, oh my God, this is really true, like this is actually happening. And I sat glued to the TV for 3 solid days in shock and horror. Now, from what we know now, how useful was that? What I contributed, and I was already a very strong energy, what I contributed to that was shock and horror. I didn't contribute any understanding. I didn't contribute any heart stuff. I just sat glued to the TV for 3 solid days in shock and horror, contributing nothing to the world except shock and horror. What I've come to understand since, and I'm not making myself wrong about it, that was all I knew how to do back then, and I'm genuinely not making myself wrong about it. But what I've come to understand is that when we get that foretelling stuff, it's an opportunity to feel into it now and find our hearts open with all the threads of understanding so we can hold space when it happens. And Sandra's pointing out that you might even be feeling the past. I'm thinking it's about the future, but she's right. It could even be about the past. But this is given all time is happening now, you know, even if it's about the past, this is your opportunity to hold this beautiful energy of yours, this beautiful sensitivity of yours, and hold it in your heart. God, my hands are throbbing.
You look terrible, though.
Okay, it's the resistance that feels terrible. Our whole thing today is that thing that I am so keen for you to take away from this clinic, and that is it true or not that the feeling of curiosity and willingness and openness is more important than the answer? Because that feeling of foreboding, it's a message, right? It's a message about something and you haven't been able to figure out what it is. But your feeling of willingness and openness and curiosity about what that message might be is more important than the bloody message itself. Because that's what's going to bring you happiness from day to day. And still, you still get the message and you perform your destiny. Holy shit, is that true, Jillian?
Yes.
You've just hit the flow of the universe, haven't you?
Yes, I've been doubting it the whole entire time, and I'm not.
There you go, Sunshine.
I don't doubt it anymore. I believe them about 9/11. Like, I believe that they felt it.
No, yeah, I know they did. Because
they told you.
I was there listening, you know. They were telling us months beforehand. Yeah. Sandra and Carolyn are doing little dances in the background because they're actually feeling you flowing from the past to the future like a prophet.
Yeah.
I think that was the expression Carolyn used, out of the corner of my eye. Yeah. Oh, man, that flow of the universe feels so good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just soak that up, kiddo. See, being willing to understand the message of that foreboding, that stops you from resisting it. And it's only the resistance that hurts. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Wow. That flow of the universe feeling is just yummy, isn't it? It's like you're being held up by it. God, my hands are throbbing. See, from here, sweetheart, the message is going to come. Whenever it's ready, the message is on its way. But this is the space that you're in where you can enjoy the journey to the message. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
This is literally your practical everyday inner peace and happiness. I've got goosebumps flowing up and down my back. This too is really interesting. You have to get off this call and integrate this. How did you already get that message? Did you already notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Whether you come back to the call or whether you email us later, and those of you who want to email me later and want to share what's come up, be clear in your email that you want to share it with everybody, and I'll email it out and share it to everybody. Because there's a lot of excitement about some of the stuff that's happening for you. You know, each of us is sharing in the excitement of everybody else's excitement. Okay, off the call. Go do some soak that up stuff. And Gillian?
Yes.
I am so proud for you. For you. Because you are literally stepping into your own power.
Yeah, I'm losing that stupid doubt.
Oh, doubt has it. Doubt has its uses. It's only when we get bogged in it that it's a pain in the ass.
You guys, I just have to tell you, I looked out my window and there's a turkey doing a mating dance out in my yard. Oh my gosh. Where they put their whole feathers out and shake around.
Is that a metaphor for your husband's going to talk to you? Hey, are you up for some hot sex?
No.
Sorry, I couldn't resist that.
I know. Oh my gosh, you should see this turkey. That's hilarious. Maybe it's you. For you.
Okay, off you go.
Okay, good night.
Take care, sweetheart.
You too.
Oh, gosh. Is there anyone else? Oh, Adrian, you're going to be in time constraints. I was just looking for anybody else who has time constraints.
Oh, wow. What a freaking call we've got today, hey?
Isn't it gorgeous? Gosh, just pausing a minute and soaking that gratitude up. How have you been going, sweetheart? You know, you had your big blast out in the first week.
Now it's kind of two steps forward and half a step back. Two steps forward.
So you're integrating, are you?
I really think so. Because I was on the fast track call on Friday, and I forget who you were talking to, but it really hit me all of a sudden. It's like, how often, like constantly, I make myself wrong. You know, I mean, it's always, I'm not doing enough. I don't have it's all lack. You know, I don't have enough time. I don't have, you know, but it's like I make myself wrong instead of going, which hit me on that call was, wow, you know, I've got everything I ever wanted. Why am I complaining? Which seemed to be an answer worth pursuing.
Well, there's a dare moment.
Yeah. It's more like the Homer Simpson. Doh! It was like, wow, I feel a lot better just realizing and watching how often I do that. It's like, whoa, back off, honey. You wouldn't be that hard on anybody.
There's a paradox in every one of those moments, though, in the noticing when we're making ourselves wrong, then being prepared to, you know, feel the willingness and the curiosity and the openness as to why are we doing that?
Yeah.
And then you're in the heart of the paradox and boom, there's your change place right there.
Absolutely. And it's what I find. Oh, I don't know. To be honest with you, I'm going to say miraculous just because it's a new experience for me. But that last little rescue thoroughbred I got showed up for some reason, because I have never had a horse, especially one that I've had her for what, 3-4 weeks? She follows me. I mean, if I'm in the backyard with the dogs, she comes over to the fence. I mean, she's like on me. And I'm like,
horses love this energy.
What? Well, I'm kind of like, what's going on? I don't know how to talk to her. It's like, Kate, what is going on here? I'm loving it, but it's like, I got to like spend a whole lot of time with her to figure out what's going on.
The timing of, cause it was Carolyn. I've thought about this before, of, you know, getting people to restart their fast track program. But I never quite got around to it because, you know, there was, the effort in making up the email and, you know, all that kind of stuff, getting all that done. And Carolyn brought it up the other day and I went, oh, clearly I need to pull my finger out and do that. And the timing, you wouldn't believe the amount of people who are saying, oh my God, the timing is incredible.
Yeah.
And here's the timing for you, because as that program flows, you're going to be able, you're in a completely different place now. So it's going to mean...
I'm getting a lot more, you know, like a whole bunch of layers have come off.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a lot more out of it, as are the kids.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is great. But it's, I have to admit, I've got the most boring pasture in the world. They're all bay horses with no white on them.
And their insides are as different as Oriana was talking about with hers, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
But it's like, that's not, to me, you know, that's, they're as unique as we are. So
yeah.
I wouldn't, it's just for me having, you know, how can I say, I've got a lot of regret just because of my age, the way I came up through horses. It's like Monty Roberts, right? I mean, that's what I, that's the kind of crud I grew up with. And it's like, I regret, I mean, I, you know, I mean, I
okay,
never did
pause. I was going to pull you back to this a minute ago, and then you're doing this one. Okay, the regrets are perfect, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But being stuck in them is not.
I agree.
So right now, drop into the energy of the rightness behind the wrongness. Feel your willingness and curiosity and openness to understand the message of that regret.
Well, I know I have part of it because it started a long time ago where it's like, I regret those things because I wish I hadn't done them. So I've never done them again. You know, I found other ways to do things and be, and it's like, that's my, the only way I can make up is to not do that again.
There's a deeper something going on here, Sunshine. You went into the flow of the universe and now you're coming out of it. I'm not quite sure why. Hang on.
Well, because my brain got involved.
I'm just going to add 15 minutes. Make sure we don't get cut off. Cool. I just didn't want to be distracted from you for a second. So there's a pattern here that I was observing, sweetheart, that you actually have observed of making yourself wrong. So instead of trying to change that intellectually, right?
Yeah.
How about you drop into the feeling of openness and willingness and curiosity about what's behind it? What's behind you making yourself wrong in so many different areas? And the feeling, like, if, you know, this is our message for the day, it feels like, the feeling there, you've just hit the flow of the universe again, that feeling is more important than the message of your making yourself wrong. It feels like scales have just dropped off your eyes.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, it just disappeared. I mean, it just went away.
So this is, again, it's bringing it home to every one of us listening to this call live and listening to it on the recording. It's bringing this message home that the feeling of willingness and openness and curiosity about the message, about whatever it is that we're feeling crappy about, is the practicality of day-to-day happiness.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I know you've said this, but again, it's not something you can do in your head.
No.
It's experiential. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, after going through graduate school and all that stuff, it's like I spend a lot of time in my head. And that's, you know, how can I say that's the safe place to go when things are bothering me.
That's gorgeous.
Well, but I'm probably not going to say this right, but it's like the letting down the barriers that I can erect in my mind and letting go and experiencing it and being in my body too, along with my mind, is what fixes everything. Not sitting there thinking about how I'm going to solve this problem. It's the whole thing. I mean, it's not sitting in my head. It's not making any sense.
Oh, yes, it does. It makes absolutely beautiful sense. I am crying with gratitude. You know, as a teacher, Adrian, this call today is filled with things that have got my heart full of gratitude. But you just nailed it. You verbally just described exactly what I'm talking about. It's like you're bringing it home.
Well, it's just, you know, for me, like I said, it's like I've known that I live in my head too much. Because you miss a lot of things when you're in your head. And it's why I like working with horses, because I've got to get out of my head to do that. And it's... I ran out of words.
Wow.
Back at you, because I am so grateful for, you know, everything that you've done since, you know, I mean, I've been hanging around for, I don't know, a few years.
Mm.
And it has made things possible for me. It's made my life better. It's certainly made my horses' lives better. Because I can work with them now in a way that makes us both very happy. And there's no, it's a partnership. It's a cooperation. You know, it's not, you know, I'm the boss, you're going to do what I say. It's, we're going through this, you know, we're doing this together. And if you want to opt out, okay, because I want you with me, not against me. And it's just, you know, a lot of the stuff has just made that possible. That, how can I say? I mean, when I was a little kid, you know, so I always dreamed like I could be Dr. Doolittle. And it always frustrated me that it was like I never could seem to communicate with anything except the dogs. And that, you know, it was like, but why can't I do it with the horses? But it's different.
Mm.
And I needed some help. And you gave it and you provided it. And it's like, I will be eternally grateful for that.
Yeah. And what's really interesting about this, Adrian, is there's a gratitude flowing from me to you as well as from you to me. I could actually feel the reciprocity of that gratitude, because having students to drive my own journey forwards has been an incredibly beautiful part of my own journey. Every time I do a clinic, every time we set a clinic, my growth goes into warp speed. Because,
well, that's good for us because the teacher is always supposed to know more, right?
Well, there's times, I've got to tell you that, Adrian, there's times when I don't, but I'm just authentic in the moment and then it flows right.
Yeah.
Sandra, Carolyn had a beautiful thing here for you and for everybody else about this, you know, making ourselves wrong stuff. She says, I just love the wrongness. I welcome it. It makes me feel all smiley because I know then that it's my change place. The place to expand and to learn the understanding of who I really am. So bring on those regrets. It's just another word for feeling the wrongness, and now the fun and expansion and the joy begins. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sandra, that was stunning. That was stunningly expressed. Mm. And then she continues and says, when I flow with the wrongness, I'm flowing with the rightness in the moment. And the happiness, that non-stop way of life. So much happiness in my life, she says. Mm.
Exactly. It's always amazing to me that it's like I can do things and not ever realize that it's like there's more to it than what I'm doing.
Mm.
Well, I was just thinking.
Life is discovery. Life is about discovery.
Well, this is when I got Kiri. I don't know why, but even she was 3 months old, and she was, you know, unfortunately, good thing she got me. She was a Rottweiler, and she was afraid of people and aggressive, even as a tiny pup.
Wow.
And it was like, okay, Houston, we've got a problem here that we need to solve for her. And so, Aaron, my other Rottweiler, and I took her down to the beach every day, and we'd look at the people until she got, it was like dealing with a spooky horse. But then we hit the point where it's time for her to be glad about seeing strange people. And so that's the one time in my life I've used clicker training, and I turned strangers into targets where it's like if she touched their hand, she got a treat. And so it made the wrong thing, which was the person, a right thing. It was something to look forward to, even though it was something that she didn't like. And over the years, she got to the point where she was very enthusiastic about meeting new people. She just didn't want them to pet her.
She was very enthusiastic
about meeting new people.
And I'm just going to pause you there again because clicker training is gobsmackingly good stuff if you use it in the right way, and gobsmackingly damaging if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want someone to hear what you just described so beautifully, that was so perfect for her, and it was utterly perfect for her because it came with your understanding. But
I don't use it
as a technique.
No, not at all. And it's like, I don't. That's the only time I have ever used clicker training.
It's a wonderful thing to use. It's a wonderful thing to use, and it was utterly perfect.
Yeah, for that situation, it was, and it, you know, to be honest with you, it just sort of came to me that it's like, okay, you know, you have, like, poo-pooed clicker training forever, and now here's this dog that's going to make you use it whether you want to or not.
Yeah, it's really funny about that you should say about that, because I keep getting hit between the eyes about things I've poo-pooed forever,
And then they come.
And so it's I've come to realize that the arrogance of poo-pooing something is part of the problem.
Yeah, exactly. It's like what I always objected to was just it's why I always loved draft horses, because when I was running my sleigh ride for the first time in my life, it's like driving, at least the way I did it, driving is a partnership. It absolutely even Steven partnership, I ask. And it's like, if they don't want to move, there's really no way I can make them. They've got to want to. And I got so used to that where it was like, you know, my old Duke and I just, you know, I mean, we were partners and it was like, wow, this is possible to, you know, I mean, it was, which is why I stuck with drafts for so long, because drafts, I could do that with. And now it seems to be working with slightly more energetic individuals.
You know, Sandra's made a point in the background here, which is just perfect. You know, we were talking about getting smacked between the eyes, you know.
Yes.
Things that we poo-pooed or things that we thought were wrong or whatever. She says, maybe it's time to introduce them to the possibility that everything is perfect.
Well, I sure feel that way right now.
Okay, I'm going to leave you and move on. I'm trying to get to everybody today. Robin, I'm opening you up, Sunshine. How have you been doing?
Good morning.
Good morning, Sunshine. How have you been going with your doubts and let me ask a more targeted question. How have because, you know, that's a bit broad and like, you know, how the hell do I answer that? How have you been going with that? Is it true or not that the feeling of curiosity and willingness and openness is of wanting to understand the message is actually more important than the message itself?
I think it's slowly settling. It's getting there, which listening to everybody this morning seems to be the way it's perfect for it to happen.
Yeah, we've been getting layer after layer after layer of it today, haven't we?
Yes. I must say, yesterday morning I'm thinking, oh, this is wonderful. Somebody's had a Kundalini awakening and somebody's getting this and somebody's getting that. And I'm getting a migraine. And I thought, well, hang on. Okay, I'm getting a migraine. I usually, in terms of migraines, they're not that bad, but they make me feel pretty shitty. And I thought, okay, I usually go to bed with them. I'm going to go to bed and I'm just going to flow with it. So I did. And I went to sleep for 2 hours.
How did that work to flow with the migraine?
Better than anything I've tried before. Usually,
well,
I've used tapping and various other things. I can control them without drugs. But the wash up afterwards is always horrible. And I'm sort of out of it for a couple of days, even if the migraine itself was fine. Whereas yesterday it was, I was tired, but other than that, fine.
Way to go, you. Wow.
But, yeah, so at the moment, flowing.
So, yeah, I can actually feel you flowing with it. So it's like, let me put this in words for other people. It's like you are literally open to all the threads behind that migraine. As you flowed with it yesterday, you're open to all the threads that are behind it.
Yeah,
And the message of it is you are actually flowing into the threads of the message of it. So it's a message, you know, it's your body, mind and spirit trying to tell you something. And because you were able to flow with it, you've literally opened up this new way of, holy shit, Robin.
It's a bit what it feels like, to be honest, at the moment, yes.
Wow. Well done, you. And to do it with pain. Holy shit.
Well, that's the thing, is I didn't actually get that much pain because mine start very much with visual. And I just went and basically let it go from there. And although I could feel the headache forming, it never really cut in heavily.
Well, that's the way it happens when you flow with pain. It's not painful. It's like you're open to the message of it without the, and then you don't have to experience the pain. Just pause, everybody, on that. That's a pretty big deal. Well, you know, you might have been envying somebody's Kundalini awakening, but holy shit, you did a pretty big deal yourself. It doesn't get too much better than being able to flow.
No, and then there's that wanting to, well, I want to apply the flow to this and the flow to that and try this. And I went, hang on, no, that's not flowing. Stop, feel, pause, just flow.
See, that's the getting the hang. That's the getting the hang of the creation stuff. Now you've found this place, you can start playing around with creation. Ooh, that gives me goosebumps. You can kind of start playing around with creating confidently when you know how to flow with the change places.
It will be interesting to find it, or to explore it, I guess.
Yeah, and you've got a perfect place to explore it with that young horse that you just got back.
Yes.
What fun's that going to be?
That's the plan. Adrienne, yes, the heavies are the way to go. They're my heart and soul too.
Is this a warm blood, this one, this little one, this young one?
No, he is, wait for it, he's a Percheron Clyde warm blood thoroughbred quarter horse.
Wow. So there's a fair bit of heavy horse in there.
Yep.
Okay. Well done, you.
Oh, thank you so much. Because, yes, there's been a lot of doubting and a lot of envying and a lot of trying to flow but hitting up against the trying so much.
Yeah, the envy is such a useful emotion when we don't allow ourselves to get stuck in it. You know, when we sit in the paradox energy of it and go, wow, what's all the threads going on here? What is it that I really want? Do I really want what they've got? I don't think so.
True.
I want my version, thanks very much. I want meanness. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sandy, and thank you, Caro.
Yeah, bless them. It's the teamwork that we've got going here is just, I just feel my heart fill with gratitude every time I think about it. Okay. I'm just moving up the board now, going through people who were in earliest. Robin in Taipei, how have you been going?
Hi, Dan.
So how have you been going with that, you know, is it true or not? Because once we know whether it's true or not, this becomes effortless. That's where you get your effortlessness that Sandra and Carolyn are talking about, that effortlessness that Carolyn's talking about when she talks about, you know, she just loves the wrongness and she welcomes it because literally makes her smiley because she knows it's her change place. So bring it on. So how you get that effortless is to know the truth of it all the way to your bones, for the truth to come welling up from the inside of us, not from my mouth. So how have you been going at, you know, is it true or not that the willingness and the curiosity and the openness to understand your messages is more important than the actual message itself?
Yeah, I can really feel that. But I haven't been, but still being pretty overwhelmed with the messages.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting that you say that, because even as you're talking, I can feel you're in the flow. Can you feel that? Mm-hmm. Can you feel that flowing energy around you?
Not sure.
Okay.
I think I get glimpses of that, you know, just the openness is the thing, is where it's at. But the last few weeks have been pretty full on in terms of a lot of wrongness that Adrienne brought up. So I'm very happy she brought that up. That really applied to me too. And then Robin just mentioned that migraine. So I missed a call last Tuesday because of a migraine and a lot of physical symptoms and stuff. And then just this constant, like, self-rumination and regret and playing things out over and over. And
So every one of those things is an opportunity to drop into that feeling of openness that works for you. Your desire to understand the message. Your openness to understand the message. Life is always going to flow stuff. That's what life is, you know, constant change, constant, you know, stuff happening on the outside of us as well as the inside of us. And the key to your day-to-day happiness is that openness to understand the message. Is that true or not?
I guess I've sort of just been trying to hang on to that and hang out in that space, because
perfect.
I don't know, with all the mental activity around it, it's feeling a bit, feeling wise.
Okay, so that's perfect. I'm so pleased that you just raised that. Robin, it's, you know, you've heard me talk a lot about celebrating our differences. One of the staggeringly brilliant things about Sue Edebowles and Narelle Wilson and Carolyn Schillig and Sandra Hagen and, you know, the girls that have kind of been on staff at any given time is our ability to celebrate our differences, to understand that each of us is going to approach the same thing slightly differently. Now, what's actually happening to you is my words are getting you into your head. And that's not quite as useful as it could be. So how about you set your intention to literally feel into your uniqueness around this? And then we can celebrate your differences. God, my hands are throbbing again. And you just dropped into the power of the universe. that space, Robin, that you're in right now, that is the practical key to your day-to-day happiness. Bring it on. Bring on. Bring on those regrets. Bring on that wrongness. Bring on that whatever.
Mm.
You've got the key. Wow. The timing of Carolyn telling me about Julie's insight when she went back into, you know, when we sent her away to integrate what was happening. I'm going to read it to you because I think it's actually pertinent to you specifically, to all of us, but to you specifically, the timing is interesting. Julie had an insight while haying her horses and thinking about being able to tune into them from a distance, that I don't have to believe that I can tune into it. Them from a distance. I just have to stop believing that I can't.
Hmm.
And it chimes in with the insight from a month or so ago about not having to encourage myself, just stop discouraging myself.
Hmm.
Somehow it's the same thing but different, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It was relevant, wasn't it?
Great
time. Thank you for that. That energy flow, Robin, is the gloriousness. And Julie, I am soaking up with you the absolute beauty of that insight. It's wow.
You know, actually, a few things that Julie came up for Julie sort of landed for me too, in this call and last call.
Yeah, and there's no coincidence. We're all these groups together.
With, you know, obviously a lot of things that people say. One insight I had this last week was about, you know, we've talked a lot about really understanding the other person, especially if it's been difficulty with someone, and that wasn't really sitting with me. And then it was bringing up a whole lot of other things, and then I realized for myself it's more about, well, whatever is going on for the other person, I still need to do my part, like hold my end up.
Well, it's even bigger than that. It's literally us. It's my feelings for me to deal with. I'm the one who can flow with the openness and the messages of my own feelings. It's got mega less to do with their behavior than it is my ability to understand my feelings are trying to tell me about, you know,
that's exactly what I mean by saying I need to take care of my end, my side.
And the
realization
of being able to do that, no matter how badly someone's behaving. That's a gift all by itself.
So what kept coming up for me, especially this past week, was this idea of you know, whatever someone did or didn't do, and obviously, you know, we all know things happen when we're younger and we sort of more have less understanding or whatever. And other people's stuff can affect us. You know, we can let it affect us, or however you want to say it. But at the end of the day, no matter what they do, like, I needed to be the one to say no to that, or I needed to be the one to say what I wanted, or I needed to be the one to, you know, not try to people please, or whatever it is. So I guess I'm in that space of recognizing that, and at the same time not trying not to make myself too wrong about it or really criticize myself too much about that. I haven't done that.
Yeah. Bring on the wrongness feeling, Robin. Because it's just another beautiful change place of getting more and more in touch with who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I can sit in that sort of openness and curiosity and just the openness of it. I guess that's where I am right now. Yeah. But in terms of, yeah.
It's going to be very interesting as you follow up, as we follow up with you in the following weeks, which I'm actually planning on doing, as people process their clinic. I have a feeling that openness is going to actually lead you to standing up in a different kind of way.
Yeah, that's a theme I keep coming back to again and again, that standing up for myself.
There's a difference between standing up for ourselves with anger and
not that at all. I really mean just this is me. This is who I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what I want. This is what I don't want. This is what I like. And I have a right to have that just because I like it. Like, I don't have to keep justifying every single thing. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a nerve in me, actually.
Yeah, I can feel that. Yeah, the open-heartedness, the standing up for ourselves in an open-hearted way, that in that way where we're actually willing to understand the other at the same time as standing up for ourselves. That is just priceless.
So I think what I've noticed over and over again is that in terms of, you know, other people, and there's a lot of that then coming up for me, but also just times when it made absolutely no difference to anyone else, but I just got stuck in my head about what this would say about me or how I would look, or like, trivial things to anyone else that I would be eating my heart about and making a decision that I was really unhappy with, because I was somehow stuck in my head about how, you know, I might look if I did this or that. And it's just nuts, and it really at its core is just a fundamental kind of self-criticism or self, I don't know. It has to be seeking outside approval. I guess that's what I'm. Yeah.
The thing that's gorgeous about what you're describing, because you're flowing in and out of integrating. I can actually feel you're flowing in and out of integrating. You're literally integrating all the time at the moment. It's going to be really interesting because what I've pulled you all to, what I've drawn you all to, what I've laid out in front of everybody is the ability for this to be effortless.
Mm. Yeah. I'm trying to pull myself back to that, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that you need to pull yourself back to it. We've set it up for effortlessness by asking you, is it true or not?
Mm.
So the effortlessness that Carolyn's in, that you're allowed to envy because just figure out which parts of that actually suit your meanness, it comes down to she knows the truth of that all the way to her bones. Her truth, not my truth, and not the way I'm expressing it and describing it to you, but the way she does it. And she's found that, and that's what we've set you all up for by is it true or not from one end of this clinic to the other.
Mm.
And you're in the flow. I can right now right now I can feel you're in the flow of the universe. Soak that up, Robin.
Soaking.
Yeah. My determination to make sure I speak to everybody today has taken us to a very long call. Okay. But I suspect that each is getting easier and easier. I'm going to move on to who is the 131 phone number. Hang on while I just get you open. Who's that?
That's Al.
Oh, super, Al. How has this been flowing for you today? The over and over again, you know, is it true that our openness to understand our feelings is more important than the actual message of our feelings?
Yeah, it makes sense. Definitely.
Al, I just want to draw your attention to the inside of you.
Yep.
You're actually flowing with the universe. Can you feel it?
No, not really.
Is your body all tingly?
I've had like goosebumps.
Yeah. There you go. That's part of your feelings.
Okay.
Well done. See, this is what we've been setting you up for, is to get this effortlessly so that it's easy. That's why I keep asking everybody all the time, is that true for you or not? Because every time that answer comes up from the inside of you, it becomes effortless. And I can tell from your Facebook posts about how you're going with Kaya that you are rocking your freaking clinic goal. Like, holy shit, you are rocking your clinic goal.
I can't remember who said it about hugging horses.
Yeah.
Instead of pushing them away, and that just screamed Kaya.
Yeah.
When she's not quite sure.
She's a standard breed. So she too as caretaker in her DNA. She also has push in her DNA. The carriage horses. The carriage horses have been taught to push through, to keep pushing even when they're afraid. So getting driven away and having their fear escalated is the opposite to useful.
Yeah.
You've got to play it all, you know, all of this stuff. You've got to play. You've got to respond in the moment to what's going on in the moment. But I can tell you are nailing your clinic goal, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm loving it.
And I'll tell you what I'm loving observing with you right now is you felt really unheard, not just here in the clinic when you were sitting on the broadcast, but you felt unheard in your life itself. Is that changing now that you've come into the clinic and you're actually feeling heard? Is that starting to flow into life outside of here?
Well, I haven't really had a lot of contact with people outside, you know, the last few days. Well, except taking the dog to the vet. But when it comes to actually getting on Kaya, I think it'll be the paddock owner that'll be there. And, yes, I'm determined for her to understand she's just there to observe, do nothing. You know?
Yep. Okay. It'll be interesting for you to observe later, you know, to look back and reflect later, that your feeling heard stuff is going to gradually, who knows whether it's gradual or all at once, but you feel heard now completely differently than you didn't feel heard before.
Yeah.
Mm. And just remember, when we want something, the fastest path to it is to give it to somebody else. So what we mean by that in these circumstances is, if we want to feel heard, then the fastest way to feel heard is to hear somebody else. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God. Can you feel the goosebumps?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well done. I'm so proud for you. I can't tell you how proud for you I am. This 5 weeks is, you've just rocked it, kiddo. You've just rocked it. Mm.
Yeah, I didn't think I would.
yeah, I know. You had some serious doubts about whether you would.
Yeah.
It was like handling a very skittish horse, I can tell you.
Sorry about that.
No, you don't need to apologise at all. It was absolutely bloody perfect. No, I'm so proud for you. Okay, last person to talk to. 322, that's you, Katie, isn't it? Who's the 322 phone number? It is Katie.
Yep.
Well, sweetheart.
Well, indeed. The subject.
Yeah, we actually don't need to talk for very long. But I just wanted to tell you what I've been observing in you before I ask you how you've been going. I have been observing a wisdom unfolding in you that is just utterly gorgeous.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, no need to thank me. It's an observation.
I know, but thank you for sharing it with me.
Yeah, you can just feel the yumminess of it, can't you?
It's nice to have validation sometimes, you know, even though we can know ourselves or wonder query.
There's such a paradox for those of us who are strong in mental feel. There's such a paradox in the beauty of our mental field and the wisdom in it and the staying in our bodies and the rest of our wisdom as well, not just the head part.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And you just felt the truth of that.
Yes. I was wondering where I am.
That's okay. Finish your.
I was just. I was feeling. I realised that my heart space energy is very very strong. Or well, it's had to be because my mind's so strong, it had to be even stronger in some ways to pull me back there. But when I'm there, it's like home in my heart. And I was just had this flash of insight with people over the course of the webinar talking about generational stuff. And I thought, oh, God, you know, I was always heart-based. You know, where did the mental kind of feel come in or develop from? And I got all this history of such analytical people, you know, my parents, you know, engineer, nurse, you know, medical, all this stuff is a safe space because I've watched them make it safe. And that's beautiful because I have probably developed that more because that was what I believe was safe. So I am actually wanting to be appreciative of what I thought was a pain in the ass, the mental side that I thought was in the way of my heart space, and in actual fact, probably a great balancer for me.
They're integral.
Exactly, because the heart's beautiful, but I was like a marshmallow and got gushed everywhere. So at certain times in my life, so it seemed or felt like, and my mental side made sense of that and kept me sane around those times. So I want to thank a part of me that I felt has been in the way for so long too.
Carolyn's pointing out that your voice has even changed.
Yeah, I feel that too, actually.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice. Hang on while I just read what she just wrote for you. And I've got tears of gratitude going on here. She says, gosh, your voice has changed. I can feel a power underneath. I guess that's her understandings and wisdom showing up in her voice. And I can feel you literally in the flow of the universe. Can you feel that?
Yeah, it's very calming and beautiful.
Katie, it feels like you're very into the effortlessness at the moment.
Yes, I've had contrasts, especially the last few days that have, there's been a few great, there's been heaps of great discussions, but there's been one on the pattern of behaviour, and I was putting so much importance on trying to figure out this stuff, and it was just patterns. All it needed to do was come up and be let go of, not dissected into a million pieces, and you know, it was just over analyzing, and I just, I don't need to do that anymore. It was just a ritual thing, you know.
You've got your heart and your mental feel integrated, and that's where your wisdom's and your power flow from. Wow, I can't tell you how blessed this feels to me as a teacher. Single one of you. Holy shit. You know, holy shit.
And you know, it's okay to take a step back sometimes. I don't have to be wonderfully in tune, connected, blah, blah, all the time. And that's where I get shitty too at myself. So I want to acknowledge that it's okay to take the step back. You know,
yeah, beautifully said. It's like Carolyn was expressing earlier. Bring on the wrongness, because she knows.
I'm not quite excited about it yet, but I like the idea of it. Yeah.
Carolyn says, if I wasn't so ready for sleep, because it's way into the middle of the night in Portugal, I'd be dancing around the room with Katie.
Oh, that's cute.
What a great place to
thank you.
Oh gosh, wow, this is the longest seminar I've ever done, and I was actually committed to keeping these to an hour and a half, so this is interesting. each layer, each person has layered in another layer of this gorgeous foundation of truth, you know, for each of us. Oh, I've got goosebumps. Okay, opening you all up. Wow. So well done. So well done, everyone. I'm going to be asking each of you over the next day or so how you've been going. Pop something in an email to me. Then I'm going to follow you up in a few weeks because I think there's an awful lot of processing going on. I've put a PDF on the page that you can download into your computer print out if you want to, or write on and email it to me, or messenger it to me, copy and paste it in Messenger or something, whatever you want. But it's the PDF is more for you than it is for me. I will enjoy sharing stuff with you, but it's to draw your attention to the yummy stuff that's happening, just to remind you. And I thought that might be useful, so that's why I put it on the web page. Okay, we have an absolute clinic full of utter rock stars. Wow. Oh, I'm just pausing and appreciating the heck out of that. Okay, thanks for all of you for your contribution to my personal growth in this 5 weeks. I'm well. Okay, love you all to bits. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.